Are you curious about bodies, pleasure, and possibilities? And what about curious about what others are up to on the planet when it comes to pleasure, sex, and play? Have you considered what pleasure can do for your life, your body, and your bank account? Do you know something magical, delightful, and out of this world orgasmic is not only possible for you, but totally available to you? If you're ready to be the magical, sexual, sexy beast you know you can be, and you just need the tools to get there, you're in the right place. Now, here is the host of The Pleasure Zone, sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, and holistic health practitioner, Milica Jelinic.
Welcome, my sweet pleasure seekers. It's the second episode of me being 51. How exciting is that? And what's really exciting to me is to think about that for my entire age of being, like, from 40 to 50, I've been on it with the pleasure zone. I believe I was and have been on for the entirety of my entire 40s. How fun would it be to be on for the entires of my 50s? Who knows? Who knows where things are going in the world and what I'll be talking about over the next decade? What I can tell you is that there's a fun book coming out. I'm giving the reveal quite often, but it's a coming. I'm working on the cover not as we speak, because I'm on the show as we speak. But yeah, so I've got some stuff coming together for my book. Yep, guys, it's exciting. I don't even know what to say about it. I'm kind of like stunned. I'd probably be stunned for a while. It's like after I had my child and only child, still stunned. And so, you know, I think when you birth something, it might take like quite a long time till you get over the stunned part that you birthed something. And there's always midwives in the birthing. So I have to give credit to all the midwives of birthing my book as well when we have the big reveal, which if you would like to be invited to the launch party for the book, I would love to have you there. All you got to do is send me a little message through my website and let me know that you would like to be part of the launch party, and I will get an invite to you. It's free. It's online. All right. What are we talking about today? Why are we talking about anything? Well, one of the reasons I talk about things is because I like to. It gives my husband a break from listening to me and everybody else I know one-on-one. Although, I do have a friend who has listened to literally every episode of the show. I have a few friends who have listened to pretty much every episode of the show, so they must really like listening to me talk. Thank you, guys. And then to many people who have tapped into several episodes. It's why I keep doing this. And another reason why I do it is because I actually really love investigating and researching all things about sex and intimacy and bodies and pleasure. And I think I unwittingly started doing that at a pretty young age. Like, I was into self-discovery really young. I was into understanding human sexuality and pleasure in my, like, I wasn't even a teenager, but I understood that. I understood it to some level that there was something interesting going on and I wanted to know more. And I've always wanted to know more, and I continue to want to know more, because by no means do I think I know everything there is to know about sex, intimacy, orgasms, pleasure. Heck no. There's always cool, interesting new stuff coming up. And I'm always taking fun and interesting courses. Like, I'm currently part of the Shibari group. And if you don't know what that is, that's like the fancy Japanese tying of knots, which is so beautiful, and what an art form. Anyway, always doing something. So what are we talking about today? We're talking about the divine feminine. And one of the reasons we're talking about the divine feminine is, well, last week we talked about the divine masculine, so I thought let's balance this out. Also, yesterday was International Women's Day, so celebrate. And part of it too is like, in order to really understand, well, Well, one thing actually I noticed in the last couple of weeks is I have had a lot of people who have had a lot of left side of their body problems, which is connected to divine feminine. So it is, I thought, oh, okay, well, there is something going on, whether it's been left ear problems, left hip problems, left, something going on in the abdomen, left sided. There's been a lot of left-sided something's going on. And as a result, it's made me think about, a lot of the emotional connection and different things when I work with people holistically, what I look at and, dive deep into the different things going on. I started to go, okay, there's something that we're all missing here, but there's something that's been affected. And I also noticed that there was this kind of divine timing that happened as like the more Epstein files got released, the more left-sided health issues started showing up in people. It's curiosity. Is it like fluke? Is it just, I think there's something there. I think there's a connection. One of the reasons I also wanted, as so many reasons, is like there's so many reasons to talk about the divine feminine. And the other one is that a lot of teachers in the last 20, 30 years who talked about the divine feminine, you probably used as reference one of the top teachers at the time on the divine feminine, who was now found in the Epstein files as being very active and doing things with well, I don't know their size, but young. Definitely, probably not legal age consenting adults. Definitely, I would say not that. So, yes, he's been caught out, pants down. So, yeah, I think it's time, good time to talk about these things. And I also feel like it's a good time to bring in new teachers, new perspectives, new ways of looking at things so that we're not. Using those, we're not denying the importance of discussing the divine feminine because it was taught by somebody who was vomitous. I think we need to discuss the divine feminine in a way that allows us to open up, to discover what it is individually for ourselves, and not necessarily have to rely on gurus. I think this is the numerologically the age of, or it's like something to do with astrology, but there is like the fall of the gurus. And so I did think it was quite fascinating in the last month that there was the fall of the gurus. And I remember talking to a friend of mine about this a couple of months ago, that there's stuff going on around the fall of the gurus. So it's happening. It's happening. And yeah, so good times. We're gonna have new teachers, new perspectives, I think. And what is the divine feminine? Well, it's all you feminists out there who think that women are better than men. That's not it at all. And it's actually not what true feminists stand for at all either. I say that because years ago, years, 2018, 2019, me, my BFF, my cousin, and another friend all went to New York City. And we were in New York. If you've ever watched What We Do in the Shadows, there's a character, Laszlo, and when he refers to New York, his intonations on words are amazing, and he refers to New York as New York City. And every time I think of New York, I say it that way in my head. So I'm sharing that with you guys. And so we were in New York, and I'm not going to repeatedly say that to piss everybody off. It's just that, just know when I say it, that's what my head hears. We went to see Mama Gina. So Regina Thomas Hauer. I really hope she's not in the Epstein files. And she had a great big kind of gathering of, I think there was 900 women, or 900 of those who identify as women. And for, her, it, for a workshop that is a reflection of her book called Pussy, a Reclamation. Go grab that. Go grab that Pussy, a Reclamation. It's a fantastic book. Man, she goes from the history, the mystery, how to bring it back. You know what I found kind of sad was upon Googling and doing research for this book, it wasn't the first thing that came up on Divine Feminine. I don't even know how that isn't up there. Like, it should be one of the top five. It didn't show up as like a search, and I don't know if it's because maybe my cookies read things different, but I'd like to hear from you guys. If you go and Google books on divine feminine, see if Pussy Reclamation comes up. I'd like to know if it happens for you, because it didn't happen on my Google search. Let's talk about, though, what is divine feminine energy? Which so we went to that thing in New York, and the reason I brought that up is because when we went, there was this illusion among our family members. So my cousin was with me, and there was this illusion that A, I was turning my cousin into a lesbian, as if I have that kind of superpower. B, that I was turning into a feminist who was going to hate all men. I was like, well, that wasn't it at all. And the fear of having a woman be empowered in our family, especially then. I don't know if it's still now, because I hardly talk to any of them. I still talk to my cousin that I traveled with, but I hardly talk to the rest of them, because hey, that's their attitude. So we went, and the whole time we were there, my cousin was getting harassed by like her family, particularly about her being a feminist and what does that mean? You hate men and blah blah blah. Wow, that was not it. So I'm bringing that up because there is an underlying assumption that if you are trying in any way to tap into your divine feminine, to celebrate it more, to be with it, to feel empowered by it, that somehow that makes you not just a feminist, which feminists are actually all for. Not just, they're for equity. Feminists are for equality and equity. Equity and equality, not the same thing. And so that's truly what that is for. It's for the rights of all, not for the rights of some. So that little misunderstanding, you can try and fight me on it. I will quote shit. We can have that argument. Let's do it. So feminism is not the same as like where, well, sometimes you can have reverse misogyny where women are misogynistic towards other women. That's an interesting one. And then just being, for the sake of using like common language, like a man hater. No, they're not even in the same category. So they often are regarded that way, but they are not. So I'd really like to be clear on, when we're talking about divine feminine, this is an energy that exists in everyone. It's whatever your genitals look like, internal, external, whatever your reproductive system, internal, external, whatever you were born with and whatever you identify as, every single one of us has divine energy within us. And the divine energies that we have are masculine and feminine. And sometimes they come across incredibly balanced. So it's like non-binary. Sometimes they lean more on the feminine. So people appear more, their energy comes across more feminine. And lots of times the energy can come across more masculine. So they appear more like that they're in their divine masculine. But sometimes they're not in the divine part of it. They're just trying to be masculine or feminine, but the divinity hasn't been brought in. So the softening that happens with the divine energies hasn't happened. What happens is sometimes approving with masculine energy. I got to show you how big my dick is and how low my balls hang and how big my muscles are, and that's going to prove I'm a man. No. And the same can go for women who will want to just prove their womanliness by how many babies they can bear or something. I don't know. That's not at all. It's not at all how it is. Let's get a little second of religion in there. God created all of us in the image of God. So God as a neutral term, because originally that's what it was in Aramaic, and then it got translated and became a masculine term to some people's perspectives. However, God as the neutral term is both divine masculine and divine feminine, and has the ability to create. And what other, you know, what other way do we create is with both of those energies. They're both part of creation, right? So whether you, we still haven't figured out how to get an ova to fertilize an ova. And we still require both energies for creation. I think we're just going to simplify. We also haven't figured out how to get two sperm to fertilize each other to create a child from that. So we still require those parts. We still require those cells in order to make life happen. So in celebrating the divine feminine, we're celebrating something that, guess what? Every single human being that has been born has within them, and we're born inside of. So the divine feminine is that, to me, like, if we can simplify it, it is the essence of receptivity. So that would be like the womb holding, birthing, nurturing babies. Oh my God, I'm going on a rant, guys, and I missed my break. So I will give you one more minute of this rant and then I will head to commercial. But so that divine feminine, it's all those energies of your intuition, your emotional intelligence, which men absolutely have. And that's them tapping into the divine feminine. It's also all the creation. Creation takes two to tango, as we know. Two ova can't make a baby yet. And it's that life force energy that we've talked about before as, like, as Wilhelm Reich referred to it as orgone, which is like orgasmic energy of life. And so all of that and more is what divine feminine energy is. So I'm curious, what do you feel like it is? So we're going to head to our first commercial break. While we head there, while we're on break, just contemplate, like, what comes up for you when somebody says divine feminine? Does it irk you? Do you want to punch people? Do you think it's, you know, women hate men or whatever? What comes up for you? I'm curious. Write it in the comments, in anywhere that you can write comments. Send me an email. I'd love to hear it. We're going to head to our first commercial break. You're listening to The Pleasure Zone here on Inspired Choices Network, and we'll be right back after this commercial.
Are you secretly a voyeur, wondering what's going on in other people's sex lives? What if now is the time for a totally different sexual evolution? Are you interested in people who are pioneers of different sexual and pleasurable practices? Lean in now with Milica Jelinic, where she will entice you and your body to know your own pleasure zone. On the Pleasure Zone radio show with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Jelinic, you'll receive tools, inspiration, and a foundation to allow yourself to receive more in your sex life, and quite possibly other areas of your life as well. Listen for The Pleasure Zone with Milica every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. Mountain Time, and 5 p.m. Pacific Time on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com.
Are you a subject matter expert? Are you here to share your expertise with an audience waiting to hear from you in only the way you can deliver? Are you ready to have your voice amplified across the airwaves? Inspired Choices Network has a global radio platform streaming to millions of people across the world. Professionally produced and supported by an accomplished team every step of the way, you can broadcast from anywhere in the world, knowing your voice matters, and we ensure it is delivered with ease and efficiency. Eager to hear your message, the world awaits. Contact us today to become an Inspired Choices Network radio host. Email becomeahost@inspiredchoicesnetwork.com.
This is The Pleasure Zone with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Jelinic. To participate in the program today, join our live studio audience in our chat room at inspiredchoicesnetwork.com. You can also make the choice to ask or comment by email, info@milicajelinic.com. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back, my sweet pleasure seekers. Tonight we're talking about the divine feminine. What is it? Who has it? What do we do with it? Do we need it? Are we born with it? Do we die with it? Yes, 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 yes. Do we have it? We absolutely have it. Can we embrace it more? Can we invoke it more? Yeah. Can we deny it? Absolutely, we can deny it. Why? Why would we deny the divine feminine? A lot of reasons we might deny it would be like, that's weak. You're a loser. Who? You're, that's submissive. That's this. Like, there's people will define feminine as a lot of things that would be considered unattractive. And like, if you say, you know, if you're asking heterosexual men to divine to define feminine, they would probably define curvy, round boobs. They would go to all the body parts they like to touch, or, you know, maybe it's all about the feet. Like, wherever their fetish lies, that's probably what you're going to get. So divine feminine, for people who really get it, get to that divine feminine is kind of like the softness of flower petals, and you know who you are, and you know who that's for. So divine feminine can be this invocation of softness, gentleness, nurturing. And as I have in the chat room during break, that there was feedback on divine feminine being nurturing, caring, home, and the hearth type stuff, while also being a warrior energy. Absolutely. Because as divine feminine, you are also being like the divine nurturer who would bring in that mama bear energy and go, you know what, don't you mess with my babies, I will take you down. That is divinely feminine. Divine masculine will also defend and protect. Divine feminine often does it for different reasons. So there is still the need for, and also because we have an innate desire to be alive, we will have an instinct to either the fight, flight, or freeze, right? But most of the time, the desire to fight for somebody's child is much higher. I'm not saying it's 100% across the board, because there's lots of times that that's not true. But most mama bears will stand in front of a train for their child. Also a reference to something going on politically in Canada right now, a train reference. And I hope that in 10 years, when I look back on this, that that entire situation is null and void, and I can look back and go, yay, we stopped that crap. So one of the things I didn't mention as divine feminine can be super sensual, super aware of all the senses. So whether that's touch, taste, sight, sounds, this sensual means that you are experiencing your senses. Sensual and sexual are not the same thing, by the way. And for some reason, they get confused all the time. You know, sexual can be pretty rudimentary in that it's like, how do you fit body parts together to create pleasure? It's a little different than sensual, which is more about experiencing sensation in a way that's, especially in a way that's pleasurable, even better. So we can have also the shadow aspects of these, right? So if you take like, what is the shadow aspect of receptivity? It's like you could be able to receive, but then you could almost become I would say the shadow aspect of receptivity is being the martyr, where you feel like you have to give in order to receive anything back. So that's just my thought of the hour. I don't know if that's really what, you know, the scholars say are the shadow aspects of receptivity, but that's my feeling. So, and then the shadow aspect of emotional intelligence, you could have a shadow aspect to that too, where instead of striving to become more aware, that you almost become so self-critical that you can't stop and just be okay with your feelings, where it's in a constant self-evaluation or I think it's more like a self-judgment of, do I know enough? Do I have enough? Am I enough? So I think like the shadow aspect of emotional intelligence could be the extreme desire to become so emotionally intelligent that it becomes almost the exact opposite, where then you end up just judging yourself constantly for not being enough. And then the shadow aspect of creation could actually be to the point where it's like you get creative, maybe you have creative projects that never get completed. That energy can become stagnant, or then and then all these things you say you're going to create, you become like a hoarder. So there's a shadow aspect I don't know. I don't know, guys, is that actually the case? Again, that's not a scholarly perspective on this. This is just me riffing. And then if we're looking at the shadow aspect of like sensuality, that could be almost the shadow aspect could be that you become overly sexual in a way that's like hypersexuality, so that you're using your senses in order to try and gain something, but you never actually get fulfilled by it. So yeah, there's some ideas there. So one of the things before break, I was like, hey, let's like explore what does divine feminine mean to you. So let's just be real clear on that divine feminine is not weak and it's not necessarily submissive. Although last week we talked a little bit about how there can be a divine aspect to submission too, that can be very sexual, sensual, kinky as well. That is absolutely by consent and choice. And it's very different than being submissive and being like a doormat. So, yeah. So here's a question to think about. How deeply do you allow yourself to feel? Do you feel like surface level? Like, no, I'm great, I'm fine. I don't want to be sad. Actually, one of my really good friends was saying that this weekend. She's like, I don't want to feel angry. I'm like, angry is a beautiful thing. Like, let's dive in. So it's okay to be angry. It's okay to be rage. So if you're listening, you know who you are. It's okay to have rage, and it's okay to feel deeply, because feeling deeply love is equally as important as feeling deeply rage. Their depths, their feelings, and all feelings are valid, not all behaviors are valid. Can't repeat that enough. You can have those feelings. It doesn't mean you need to act on them. You can experience and feel rage. You can, as Mama Gina talks about, swamping it out through dance. You can swamp dance that out and get right into your root chakra, let that stuff blow out your butt. You can really experience it deeply. But then you don't necessarily go out and smack people across the face that just random strangers across, walking down the street. You don't just go beating people up because you got to get your rage out. That's not it. You find an outlet that's a safe outlet for you to express it, to experience it, to know what is at the root of it. Where is that rage coming from, and how can you use it to propel you forward? Because it's a fuel, and it can propel you just as much as love can, as long as you don't judge it. So then another question to ask of your divine feminine self is, do you honor your intuition? Because intuition is a big one for the divine feminine, just where logic is really big for the divine masculine, and we need both. And sometimes when we get into those deep feelings, we can't always be logical, but you know what? Experience them. And then, as you process it, you can get into that logic to get to the place where you understand what's going on. They are very different parts of the brain, though, so oftentimes we can't flip back and forth that easy. So when you are getting into deep rage, it is a good thing to have somebody either there as your witness or there as your facilitator, so they can help bring you out of it, so that you're not walking around basically terrorizing the community. I did a lot of like amazing deep, like what's the word for it? It's like I want to say survival screams, but that's not the word. They're like screaming from the depth of your soul. I can't remember the word for that, type of healing, but it was really great. And you get into these noises that you didn't even know you had, and it comes out in a way that it like brings revelations. And so sometimes having that experience is great. Sometimes doing it on your own, you just feel a little twisted in like a whirlwind. So being able to do that and then have somebody to like work that through with you. So that is work I love to do, by the way. And if it's something that you want to experience, you can experience it from a distance, but in person is so much more fun. So do feel free to connect with me, and you can always set something up. So while we're on the whole, you know, reflection of some of the divine feminine energies, is another thing to ask yourself is, do you like and enjoy deeply connecting and having presence? Presence is both divinely masculine and divinely feminine. Connection is very much, if you think about it, when you are born and you are connected via umbilical cord to, you know, in the womb, you're connected. It is a connection energy to be divinely feminine. So yeah, play with that. Do you enjoy connection? All right. We are going to head to our next commercial break. You're listening to The Pleasure Zone here on Inspired Choices Network, and we'll be right back after this commercial break.
Are you secretly a voyeur, wondering what's going on in other people's sex lives? What if now is the time for a totally different sexual evolution? Are you interested in people who are pioneers of different sexual and pleasurable practices? Lean in now with Milica Jelinich, where she will entice you and your body to know your own pleasure zone. On the Pleasure Zone radio show with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Jelinich, you'll receive tools, inspiration, and a foundation to allow yourself to receive more in your sex life, and quite possibly other areas of your life as well. Listen for The Pleasure Zone with Milica every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. Mountain Time, and 5 p.m. Pacific Time on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com.
How wonderful would it be to carry your favorite Inspired Choices Network host with you throughout your day? Well, now you can. Inspired Choices Network now has its very own mobile app. Our free app offers live streaming shows, along with thousands of podcasts and TV episodes. Our shows cover a wide variety of topics. Whether you're waking up with us, carrying us through the day, and taking us to bed with you, we're always here for you to enjoy. We're easy to find. Just search for Inspired Choices Network in the Apple App Store or Google Play Store.
This is The Pleasure Zone with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Jelinich. To participate in the program today, join our live studio audience in our chat room at InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. You can also make the choice to ask or comment by email, info@MilicaJelinich.com. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back, my sweet pleasure seekers. For those of you who are just popping on right now, one of the things that you might find fun to do is to head on over to Apple Play, actually. Apple Podcasts. Yeah, go where Apple has the show, on iTunes, or I don't know, they keep changing the name. So yeah, go search for The Pleasure Zone on iTunes. And then, you know, go give me a 5-star review. I'd appreciate that. If you actually send me a text that you did a 5-star review for me on iTunes, I will gift you a 30-minute session. I'm only mentioning it today on this episode because I just came up with that. But if you show me proof that you 5-starred me on iTunes, I will gift you a 30-minute session, which is valued at well over $200. So there you go. I would just like to see more 5-star reviews. All right. There's only a limit to how many I can offer. That's why I'm only going to say it here and today, and that's it. Okay. So we were talking about how divine feminine energy is very much the energy of connection. Because why? Because I see it as, and as I was saying that, it's like the image of an umbilical cord pops up. My mind is very visual, so when I talk images, it's like watching a movie flow in front of my head, and I basically tell you what I'm seeing. Some say that's like channeling. Absolutely, it could be. Just could be the way my brain works. I don't know. Anyway, so the umbilical cord and the way that we connect through actually being formed and birthed and having the umbilical cord that gives us life, that connection cord, is exactly why the divine feminine is also about connection. And why would we suppress something that powerful? Well, there's a lot of theories on that. There's a lot of looking back at matriarchal societies, looking at matriarchal societies that currently exist in the world and how they operate and how they function really, really well. They're really usually generally small communities that are more tribal. However, they function well. When we look at why would we need to suppress the divine feminine, it actually brings me to an episode of Star Trek. I know I love doing references to sci-fi. It brings me to an episode of Star Trek Discovery where, oh, for the life of me, I can't remember the name of oh man, screw me for not remembering. Anyway, of this one particular race that gets suppressed by another race over time, and they end up dying. They end up dying these like horrifyingly painful deaths until the captain of is this particular race. One of the he's not a captain. He's like he's number one. So he's I don't even know what that is rank wise. Anyhow, he doesn't end up dying, and he realizes that he loses fear and he becomes super powerful and realizes that the power had been suppressed by this other race on their planet for thousands of years because the fear of that power and what that power led to. So I think about that as a reference to why would the divine feminine be suppressed, and it would be the fear of the power of it. What does that mean? I think in a time when we didn't really know how birth happened, how, the basics of the cells coming together, creating a zygote, like how is it that people would be born? If we think about it from ancient thought times, we probably would think that mysteriously women have this crazy capacity to just have life appear inside of them. And isn't that probably the most powerful thing going? I don't know how long it would take them to realize that, it required two aspects to be able to make it happen, because even in some historical references to different religious texts, it would indicate that the male sperm was basically an entire body that gets implanted into the body, and there's all the womb does is become kind of like a it's just like an incubator for that very important sperm. And so that kind of goes through the Judeo-Christian line of thinking. And if you think of it that way, then that definitely suppresses the woman, and all the womb becomes then is just a receptacle. And we know now that that's absolutely not true, right? We know that it requires both of those cells in order to create life. So why do we repress it? Well, that mystery, if we're going to take away the mystery of the woman can create life, like parthenogenesis just appears out of nowhere through divine providence, then if parthenogenesis isn't the case and we don't just create these babies out of nowhere, then what is it? Well, when they did believe that, you got to suppress that somehow. So now we got to give the power over to whoever is going to spread the word, which is probably going to be the men, because the women are busy doing things that are like raising babies and they don't have time to go talk about this stuff. So off the men go and they spread the word that it's actually their seed that's the all holy, almighty, only thing that creates life and gets implanted into a body. And I bet and believe that there still are people today, even though we know the science tells us different, that still believe that that's true. Well, that's okay. That's your belief. And you know what? We learn things all the time, and we'll probably, maybe in future, we'll start to see how much consciousness interplays with creation of life as well, because there's so much more than just the biochemistry of things happening and then new life being formed. But I think a lot of it has to do with also, if you think about how scary would it be to see somebody bleeding for like days or a few days to, you know, a week, and they live, where if you were bleeding for a day to a week, you'd probably die. So that becomes mysterious and scary too. I would think that all things that powerful are incredibly frightening. So we got to suppress it, and we got to find ways to flip the coin and make sure that you oppress the ones who come across as being that powerful. Too scary. And we look at other ways that the divine feminine was suppressed. Like we could go back thousands of years. I have on this show talked about that stuff before, but even to think about you know, the writings in the Malleus Maleficarum on finding out how to bring the hammer down on the witch. Like, let's find ways that we can suppress and write about it. We're just going to make an entire book dedicated on suppressing women's power. And then how can we shame women for pleasure for centuries? Like, they shouldn't have it. It's not right. Not only is that, we're going to institutionalize you, because you having orgasms, you're probably hysterical, or you might have PMS, or God forbid, you have endometriosis that's just about killing you. We need to put you in an insane asylum and lock you up for the rest of your life. Got to suppress that. But then we'll try and, you know, throw some vibrators at you and other manual stimulation at you to try and, because there were vibrators back then and they were like crazy giant machines. There weren't many, but anyway, they existed in the late 1800s. So there... You got to suppress that. You got to shame women. You got to make sure that their body parts are not only disgusting, but we don't want to, like, not only do we not want to learn about them or study them, we don't even want to figure out anything about those crazy bleeding bodies. I think it wasn't until 2022 or 2023 that they actually started using blood for testing the quality of maxi pads and sanitary products for women. Until then, it was, I think, watered, just red water, and they had no idea why it just didn't work. Oh, I got the I love that my producer is as nerdy as I am tonight, and the Star Trek character is a Kelpian. Yes, thank you. She remembered that he's kelp because he moves like kelp in the water, and that's like intentional in his movement. So yes, Kelpians. Awesome. Thank you for being a super nerd. So yeah, divine feminine is, I think, something that we actually don't even know a lot about because it's been suppressed for so, so long. It's like, but then if you think about this suppression, and something being suppressed for so long, it's like that intensity that's required to create a diamond, all that pressure and being hidden underground for so long, and then comes out this sparkling diamond. So maybe the suppression is going to be what brings out the most sparkling aspects of divine feminine we've ever seen historically as it starts to emerge, like diamonds coming from the earth, right? So yeah, I think I'm just riffing away on these ideas right now. And Where can we go with the divine feminine in the future? I think there's a lot to say about that, and I will kind of talk a bit about that. I also want to point out that divine feminine is not gender specific, again, because we all were born of it, from it, and with it. So can't emphasize a lot of much enough, kids. So as the divine feminine rises, how will that impact people who identify as male? How will that identify affect people who identify in any of the spectrum of how people identify? I think all it will do is actually invite and nurture all of those things even more, and be the kindness, the gentleness, the benevolence that arises from the divine feminine will nurture and look after all of that. So we are going to head to our next commercial break. You're listening to The Pleasure Zone here on Inspired Choices Network, and we'll be right back after this commercial.
Are you secretly a voyeur, wondering what's going on in other people's sex lives? What if now is the time for a totally different sexual evolution? Are you interested in people who are pioneers of different sexual and pleasurable practices? Lean in now with Milica Jelinic, where she will entice you and your body to know your own pleasure zone. On the Pleasure Zone radio show with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Jelinic, you'll receive tools, inspiration, and a foundation to allow yourself to receive more in your sex life, and quite possibly other areas of your life as well. Listen for The Pleasure Zone with Milica every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. Mountain Time, and 5 p.m. Pacific Time on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. This is The Pleasure Zone with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Jelinic. To participate in the program today, join our live studio audience in our chat room at InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. You can also make the choice to ask or comment by email, info@MilicaJelinic.com. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back, my sweet pleasure seekers. Tonight we're talking about the divine feminine and awakening the divine feminine, exploring the divine feminine, all those fun things. And we talked a little bit about how and why the divine feminine has been suppressed. I also want to point out, for those of you who have ever been studying the divine feminine and different things related to that, how to recognize whether, you know, your teacher is a manipulator. So there's language that can come up that will definitely show that somebody's being influential. And I don't know. So how, I guess we'll approach this. We'll approach it in a soft, gentle way. Because sometimes spiritual language can be used as a way to manipulate. For sure. And if you're in a vulnerable place and you're just trying to figure out how to awaken your divine feminine, and you're some of these experiences would be like, you know, if you really, well, let's, I'll give an example. If you really wanted to show how you really wanted to do, to awaken your divine feminine, you're going to have to do it with me, in front of me, show me how you do it, so that it's like taunting them, teasing them into having sex with the predator. I don't know how else to word that without saying things that are going too far. But one of the things is to know that if you are, and if you felt manipulated into having sex as a way to prove to a teacher or a leader that you, with them especially, to prove that you are somehow enlightened, or that you're good enough, or that you are awakened somehow, or that you really know how to receive, which would be the same as like awakening your divine feminine. Oh, I got to prove I can receive. Let me show you. And then you end up agreeing to things that maybe were not your, maybe you weren't really wanting that. So the other thing can be words like, oh, you need to really need to learn how to surrender. So in other words, just like if you're not surrendering to them, then you haven't learned your lesson. And so you're never going to be spiritual enough, or you're never going to be good enough. It's all bullshit. You don't need to surrender. You can surrender to your divine feminine in your own time, in your own way. Receiving can be different as well. And, sometimes, well, like with my friends, we'll be like, okay, sit back and receive. But that's because we have an understanding amongst us. And it's not that we're giving each other hand jobs or something. It's like, I've got something for you. Are you ready to receive it? For somebody listening in right now who does that to me quite often. So sit back and receive. That can be a sweet gift. It's not a manipulation. Where if you are getting it from an authority figure and they're telling you that you need to surrender to your feminine and do it in front of them, well, that's a whole other ball game. And it might seem like it's supposed to be empowering, but it's incredibly full of control. So healthy feminine energy can involve things like discernment and knowing what works for you and what doesn't, and sticking to it. And your intuition is at the core of that. So trusting your intuition is super important. And just knowing certain things about how to recognize patterns of manipulation, where, having somebody who claims to be a spiritual authority telling you how to do certain things like awaken your sacred sexuality, or how you could practice tantra, but practice that tantra with them, So you can also realize too that if your spiritual teacher doesn't allow you to question them, that's a red flag. So always question. Instead of having them say, well, you need to trust me. Oh, your ego is resisting me. No, it's probably your intuition, and that's A-okay. So, or you haven't processed that enough. You need to clear that more. You need to, turn around three times and bow to the left and then to the right, and then give me more money. And then now you've got your divine feminine. Now you can really receive because you just gave me $5,000. The more you give me, the more you can receive. Well, that's a load of crap. So there is some value that you get too, though, from honoring you and being able to be honored through exchange, whatever that looks like. But yeah, manipulation through, if you just do this, you're going to be more spiritual, you're going to be more awakened, blah, 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 blah. Bullshit. Anyway, just thought I'd point out a few things in case you've ever been in those places or scenarios, because those are vomit. And you have a choice to get out of them. And these are not just for people who were born AFAB, right? It's AMABS too. So that's assigned male at birth, for those of you who are wondering what an AMAB is. AFAB is assigned female at birth, and generally that's what doctors go for when you're born, is they assign you one or the other. And either one can have the divine feminine be manipulated in them, and have that happen, especially through authority figures telling you how to behave and what to do. And ugh. So that's sometimes a great time to invoke that divine masculine, or that inner mama bear too, that's the divine feminine protector, and get that rocking and rolling. So listen to your knowing. It's key. I can't emphasize that enough. You know more about you than anybody knows about you. You're the only one who can write a book about you. And as much as other people can be like, well, I know you more than you know yourself, well, that's a big fat crap pile too, because you always know more about you than anybody knows about you. They only have a perspective of you, and that is also clouded by their judgments of you. So they do not, nobody knows you better than you know you. You and God, that's it. So the divine masculine, divine feminine, I could go on for a very long time more, but I won't, because my show's done. And so we're going to be wrapping up in like 5 seconds anytime now. And in the meantime, guys, I think you should all go out and get pussy a reclamation. Whether you were born with a pussy or not, go get it. There's so much great information in there that will absolutely, it will bring you to tears. It will boggle your mind. It will enlighten. And it's such a gift. So go find that. And then, you know what else? Go practice no. Because that's such a great way for just being really clear on what you desire and don't desire. And even when you say no, if you start to feel bad about the no, if you need somebody to talk to about that, it's okay. We've been trained to not be okay with saying no. We've been trained for that. And so learn to say no, be okay with it.
Thank you for choosing to listen to The Pleasure Zone with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Jelinic. We'll return next Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Central, 6 p.m. Mountain Time, and 5 p.m. Pacific on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. We hope you'll join us. Until then, have the best week of your life by choosing to be turned on and tuned in to your body.